a conclusion. And so when we think of the body and unity and diversity, how does that function in a body? And that's what we're going to be discussing today. We're going to be talking about the church as the body of Christ. And thought I had an overhead, but you know what? We're just going to roll on here. And I'm being told that it's coming. So do we have it yet? No, we don't. Okay, we're going to be talking about what the body is. And in the book of Colossians, it tells us this. In chapter 1, verse 18, you don't need to turn there. We're going to get to an overhead here. There it is. Colossians chapter 1, 18. This is what it tells us. He is the head of the body, the church. See that? The body and the church, same thing. Jesus is the head of that body. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So we're starting to understand now what this body of Christ is. Jesus is the head, we are the body, his church. We move on to Ephesians chapter 1, and it tells this, that God placed all things under his feet and anointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body. The fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And again, we see this body going on. He is the head. The church is the body. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 tells us this. For as the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. And again, we see the head and the body. Moving on to verse 30 of chapter 5 in Ephesians. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and his bones. So you have this body, which Christ is the head, his church, not a building, but a group of people that are his body. And from the head comes all the direction. Today we are going to see how the human body, Paul likens the body of Christ to the human body. And when we think about it, we have this human body that the head gives all the directions to the body. And the only responsibility of the body is to obey the direction from the head. I can't imagine us going 50 miles an hour, coming up to a stoplight, and the brain telling us, stop, 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 and the body says, don't want to listen, and right through the intersection we go. I can envision jumping out of an airplane and the brain saying, it's time to pull that little white thing dangling from our vest. And the body says, I don't want to do that. And there's disaster. So today we will be looking at the first of three chapters on the church, which is the body of Christ and how it is supposed to function. In chapter 12, God gave spiritual gifts to the body. In chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. And if we don't feel needed in the body or say that we don't need parts of the body, there's discouragement. I can't imagine at all the hand saying to the foot, I don't need you. We need every part of the body. When you get into chapter 13, if there is no love, we have nothing. And we see the motives in which these spiritual gifts are to be used in love. When you get to chapter 14, if we're not sensitive to the surroundings in the body, there's chaos. And we see the ministry of these local gifts in the local, or the spiritual gifts in the local assembly. But one thing I want you to notice, that there's one thing that runs through all of these chapters, and that is this. In order for the body of Christ, which, as we've seen, is the church, in order for that body to display the awesome power of God, in order for there to be forward progress in the body of Christ, in order for there to be life and growth in the body, in order for there to be unity and love and care for each other, the body has to function the right way. It's the same thing as a human body. In order for that body to move on in a healthy way, every part in the body needs to function the right way. Otherwise, you have a sick body. So again, we have the physical body, the head, the body, and all that does is respond to the head. We have the body of Christ. And so it moves on to the second point, and that is functioning in the body. How does this, all of this work? You've got this head, you've got the body. How does it all work? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, it tells us this: "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." And so if you're in the body, God gives us grace to function in the body. And so we move on into Ephesians chapter 12, chapter 4, verse 12, and it says this: "He gives us this grace so that we can function in the body." And here's the reason we function in the body: "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." So we function so that Christians can be maturing, so that there can be work going on, and the body is built up. Look at chapter 4, verse 15. "But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." Verse 16, "From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working of the measure in every part, it makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." And so what you got here is this: the body needs to be edified, so God gave spiritual gifts. To everybody that's in the body, he has given you a spiritual gift. It is given so the body can mature. And watch this: the body is held together by that which every joint supplies. Get that? Everybody's putting in. Nobody gets a free ride. Let me tell you, I have a disc that is between two of my ribs. And if that disc decided that it wanted to give out, I don't know if any of you have had a slip disc, a ruptured disc, a bulging disc, it hurts. You can't see the disc. You don't talk much about it. It's probably not very attractive, but it's there. And if it's not working, the whole body hurts. And so the body needs to function. And while the body needs to function, it needs each member to make that happen, or it can't be a body. And that's what we're going to see in our passage. Point number three: unity in the body. There needs to be unity in the body. So our passage today is going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if we could turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And just a quick background of what's going on here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul starts talking about spiritual things. And one of the things he talks about is spiritual gifts and the body functioning together. And he says, hey, before you people were Christians, you sort of just followed anything. I want to tell you that there's only one Spirit, one Holy Spirit. And if you have the Spirit, you can't curse God. And if you don't have the Spirit, you can't say, I love God, really. And then he goes on to say that there are many gifts for the ministry, but it is the same Spirit. So if you're in the body and you're ministering, there's many gifts for that ministry, but it's the same Spirit, one Spirit. There's many ministries that you can do, but it is the same Lord. He goes on to tell them that there's many ways to function in the ministry, but it is energized supernaturally by the same God, and he's building towards something here. God's power is displayed in each one of us for the strengthening of the body. If you're in the body, you're doing something. You have a spiritual gift that God gave you. And not only that, but you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, and we'll see that as we go on. He gives a list of the gifts that you have in verse 8 through 11, and finally he summarizes everything in verse 11, and he says this: "But all these work that one and very same Spirit, dividing to every man as he determines it to be divided." So what do you have here? You have this body that is the church of God. If you are a believer, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you, and you are one body. However, it has many functions. We'll see that as we go on here. You have many gifts, but the same Spirit, and every believer has a gift. So you have all these gifts given to the believer. We have many, many gifts, many believers, and Paul is building towards something, and that is how all of this will function in the body of Christ. How does it all come together in the body? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this is our passage starting in verse 12. But before we look at that, look at verse 27, which is the key verse. Now you are the body of Christ, and you are needed members in the body of Christ. That's the key verse. Remember that. If you are a believer, you are in the body of Christ, and you are needed in the body of Christ. So look at verse 12. He compares it to a human body, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So he compares it to the human body. I am one body standing up here, but I have many members. I have fingers, I have toes, I have eyeballs, I have eyelids, I have parts you can't even see. I have lungs, I have a heart, I have veins, and all of those are functioning together to keep this old body going. And so he says, don't need any help from the peanut gallery. Thank you very much. And so he says, the same way that this body is functioning up here, the same way the church of God is to function. It is one body, but it has many members that do different things. And if you don't think you're important, believe me, you're important. One little member that isn't functioning, you got a problem. I remember I was given, I purchased a Pampered Chef thing. And I don't know if you know about Pampered Chef things, but they're surgical steel things. They're sharp. And here I am, I was at home on a Sunday and I'm cooking. And I thought, you know what? I don't need this potato guard to slice this potato. So I just took the potato. You know, normally it's got prongs and you put the potato on it and you slice it. And by the time you get down to the surgical steel blade, it protects you from having your finger sliced off. I don't need it. I took the potato and I'm just slicing and I'm talking. Next thing I know, you don't even feel it because it's just surgical steel. It cuts and you don't even feel it. And there's the tip of my thumb frying in the oil. Let me tell you something, I couldn't tie a tie for the next 3 weeks. Just because this was gone, my whole body hurt. And I couldn't tie a tie because I had to use my thumb. If you think that you're not important in the body, no matter what you do, you're kidding yourself. Not only that, but if you don't get involved, you're disobedient to what the Word of God tells you. I couldn't tie a shoe. I had to walk around with my hand like this because when the blood went down, it throbbed and it hurt. And it was just a little corner, but the whole body hurt. And we'll get into that as we go along. And so he compares it to the human body. Now notice this. He says, for by one Spirit you were baptized into the body, whether you be Jew or Greek, whether you be bond or free, and you've been all made to drink of one Spirit. Isn't that something? By one Spirit you've been put into the body. How does that happen? People just don't walk into a body. They're put into the body. Let me tell you something. Here's how you get into the body. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. He died in your place. He promised throughout the whole scripture, I'm going to send my son. He's the only way into heaven. He is the Redeemer. He's the Savior. Accept him and live. He who has the Son has life. He who doesn't have life. He died in your place. Do you accept it? The minute you believe that, he says that you are sealed with his Spirit, put into the body of Christ, never to be removed again. That's how you get into the body. So by one Spirit, Holy Spirit, we were all put in to the body of Jesus Christ. He's building towards something now. And we've all been made to drink of that spirit. We've got unity. We all have the same spirit in us. That means that we're linked together as a body. No matter how many people in this room there are, we are of the same body. And what makes all the cells work together in the human body? Listen to this. I couldn't believe this. What ushers in the highly specialized functions of movement, sight, consciousness through the coordination of 100 trillion cells in the body? The secret to membership lies locked away inside each cell nucleus, chemically coiled in a strand of DNA. That's what it is. Some things about DNA, it's so narrow and compacted that if all the genes in all my body's cells were put together, they would fit into an ice cube. Didn't know that. However, watch this. Yet if the DNA were unwound and joined together end to end, the strand could stretch from the earth to the sun and back more than 400 times. Let me tell you something. The human body it's an amazing miracle, what God did to the human body. And yet Paul compares that to the church of God. And he says this: every cell possesses a genetic code so complete that the entire body could be reassembled from information in any one of the body's cells. That's something. It's amazing that the body could be rebuilt by one cell. And then he goes on to say, linking us members, he goes on to say, just as the complete identity code of my body and hairs in each individual cell, so also the reality of God permeates every cell in his body, linking us members with a true organic bond. I share the ecstasy of community in a universal body that includes every man and woman in whom Christ resides. He could rebuild the body of Christ by one person because we all share the same spirit. Isn't that something? In fact, if you turn to the book of Ephesians, we don't need to turn there, but in chapter 4, the first three verses, it says this: I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. And then he goes on to say, watch this, endeavoring to keep the what? Unity of the Spirit. And how do you keep it? In the bond of peace. Isn't that something? You know what endeavoring means? It means to make haste. It means exert yourself, to give diligence to keeping peace in the body. We're so linked together that there should be peace among us at all times. There should be no division in this body. There should be no, when there's arguments, and there's going to be, we're not perfect, but there should be forgiveness and acceptance and understanding one another. And yet there's not. We go home and we sulk and we divide and we stay angry. And it shouldn't happen like that. Verse 14, there's unity, yet there's diversity. Look what he says: for the body is not one member, but many. The body is not one member, but many. So he went from talking about being one body to now it's many members. And when we're talking about the body of Christ, we recognize that though there is unity at the level of commitment, there is diversity at the level of service. We're all committed. We're all the same at the level of commitment. We all want to be committed, but when we go out and do what we're supposed to do, there's diversity. And so we see diversity in the body. And we pick up in verse 15. If the foot shall say, in fact, what we're going to look at, we're going to look at verse 15 all the way through 24, and we got two groups of body parts here. Number one, those that feel that they're not important. And then those that feel that they don't need anybody else. There's going to be some that come in and say, you know what, I'm not needed. And they go and they cry their eyes out. There's others that say, I don't need you. I'm the spiritual superstar. I'm Superman and I don't need you. Can't have that in the body. Paul says that can't be. You see, there's no place in God's plan for individualism in the body. Nor is there a place for spiritual superstars that feel they don't need anyone else. Let me just read these. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the smelling be? But now God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. He put the body together. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now are they many members, yet one body. Guys, have you ever seen them specials on TV on an aircraft about aircraft carriers? They amaze me. Never been in the Navy. Never been in the Air Force. But you've got this 1,100-foot beast that just floats out there in the ocean. It's probably over 100 feet wide. It houses 5,000 sailors and Marines. And the bigger it gets, the more they house. I want to tell you that every sailor that gets on that boat, that gets on that vessel, has a job to do. Nobody gets a free ride. Think about it. Not everybody can be a pilot. However, the pilot can't pilot unless everybody else does their work. There's guys that wheel bombs out on a gurney. It looks like a gurney. And they spray paint there, you know, this one's for you and, you know, up yours and all that other stuff. And they spray paint their sayings on the bomb, and yet what they do is they lift this bomb and they put it under the wing of one of these F-14 Tomcats. And what this guy does is he's got a little screw that he screws in. If he screws it in too far, the bomb won't fall off when he hits the button. If he doesn't tighten it enough, the bomb will deploy on takeoff. You think his job ain't important? And then you have guys that are just acne-covered faces with different color vests on the deck. They're not the pilot, but you know what? They got lights. And they tell the pilot, it's time for you to go. And how would you like for the pilot at midnight when it's pitch black and you can't see everything to say to the guy who turns on the lights on the ship, I don't need you. Can you imagine that happening? How about the guys, there's a cable that goes across the ship that when the plane lands, that hook catches it to stop them from going off the front of the ship. If that guy's not working that system, this pilot can't land. And then you have what they call the RIO, which is a radar intercept officer. He sits in the back, and you know what he tells them? Hey, there's a missile coming. Better bank right. Now, if that guy's not in the back seat, this pilot's shot down. He can see radar where there's enemy coming. I can't imagine the pilot saying, I don't need you. You see, everybody works together on that ship, whether you're swapping the deck or whether you're flying a jet. If the captain asked, are you important to my ship, even the lowest ranking officer would say, yeah, I am. And if he asked why, because if I'm not here, the plane can't land. Can't land. You got a whole room of people that just sit there and watch radar screens to make sure that that ship is protected. To let the pilots know that, hey, we've got incoming. You need to get off the deck. And everybody functions. Everybody functions. It's the same in every aspect of life. Baseball, football, you got one team, yet you got nine guys doing different things. There is one body, but many, many but one, and there is unity, and that's what we see here in our passage today. You've got 5,000 men coming together, uniting to make an 1,100-foot destroyer go. And if one guy doesn't do his job, you've got an F-14 Tomcat going right off the front of that ship, probably losing two pilots' lives, simply because he didn't want to work the cable that day. I can't imagine my liver waking up and saying, you know what, I just don't want to function today. What would happen? You saw what happens when you slice your thumb off and it's frying in a frying pan. So God has fashioned his body this way for a couple of reasons. We already read verse 18. It's him that puts us in the body. And that is for this reason, that nobody belittles themselves. You see, we're talking about the first group of people. Because I'm not the foot, I don't belong to the body. The first ones who feel they're nothing, they're the gripers, they're the envious, the ones who feel cheated. And they say, you know what, because I'm not the foot, I'm not the part of the body. Because I'm not the ear, I'm not part of the body. Because I can't do what you do, I'm not part of the body. Let me tell you something. No one, by complaining and depreciating his own importance, can remove himself from the body. It doesn't eliminate your responsibility to function in the way that God has called you, because God has called you to function And you can't remove yourself from that responsibility because you say, you know what, Robert, I can't do what you do. Therefore, I'm not going to do anything. Let me tell you something. I can't do what my brother does. But I can't stop functioning. The liver can't come up here and talk, but if it stops functioning, I'm a dead man. You can't say I'm not going to do anything at all. Why? Because it makes you disobedient to God's word. We were on a cruise, and my buddy, next thing I know, he's limping around, he's hobbling around. You know, I'm thinking, what's wrong with you? God, you're such a whiner. You know, you're just such a whiner. He says, my foot hurts. We had to go down, we had to try to get crutches for him, and he couldn't move. And I'm thinking, stop whining. Well, come to find out, his foot's broke. I mean, he cracked a bone in the top of his foot, and we didn't know it. But you know what? The rest of his body is as healthy as an Iron Man, and he couldn't move because his foot was broke. And what does it say here? If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not part of the body, does that make it not part of the body? You see, they're not attractive. Feet are not attractive. Some of them aren't. Some of them are very not attractive. But they're not attractive. But the hands are. You know, the nails painted, that the hands are. And they're not attractive, but the rest of my friend couldn't move because he was dependent on the feet. I want to read you something real quick. Get this. I just happened to run across this. I'll just read one of them. The orbicularis oris is a muscle that encircles the mouth. Now, you can put lipstick on your lips. Very, very attractive lips. But this little muscle just encircles the mouth. My wife likes this one, by the way. It lies between the skin and the mucous membranes of the lips, extending upward to the nose and down to the region between the lower lip and the chin. And it's sometimes called the kissing muscle because it causes the lips to close and to pucker. Could you imagine if we didn't have that muscle that nobody sees? And here comes your wife, and she just, hi, honey, welcome home from work. Can you give me a kiss? And we walk up like this. There's also a muscle that causes your forehead to go like this and look like this and like that. Could you imagine if we didn't have that muscle and a bomb goes off in front of us and we stand there like this? It's a muscle you can't see, but it's important to the body. So just because you're just this little muscle, you're not the eye, you're not the hand, you're needed in the body. We laugh, but I'm telling you, those muscles are needed and so are you. And so the foot can't say to the hand, I'm not of the body. The ear can't say to the nose, I'm not of the body. We can't all be one. You can't all be preachers. You can't all be missionaries. Can you imagine that? How would the body function? The body couldn't move if it didn't have feet. The body couldn't hear if it didn't have ears. And yet there are actually those in the assembly that say, because I can't do what you do, I'm just going to, I could never do that. I'm just not going to do anything at all. I'm just going to sit here and do nothing. Have you guys ever heard a new believer speak? Have you ever heard somebody that doesn't know what they're doing speak? Let me tell you something, it's real. When people stand up and they say, I can't do that because I don't know what I'm doing, guess who takes over? The Holy Spirit that dwells in them. It's those people that know what they're doing that we sort of fall asleep on. But you got these young believers who don't know anything except what the Lord has done for them, and they stand up and they say, Lord, I want to thank you for dying in my place today. I have no words to describe what you do. So when you think you can't stand up on a Sunday morning because you can't put a 20-minute message together, think again. Stand up and speak from the heart. You're needed. Sunday school class is up here today. I've heard it said, you know, we separate our people by ages. You know, the older people stay up here, the younger people go downstairs. They're the next generation. Wake up. You're the next generation. You're the body. What are you going to do? If the Lord decides he don't want to come, what are you going to do? If all of the parents died today in a bombing, what would you do? Would you carry on? Would you continue to function as the body? Wake up. You're the next generation if the Lord doesn't come. you're all needed. There's people that say, I can't witness, I can't pray, I don't know how to visit like you do. We can't do that. We can't say I'm not of the body. You see, if you have a body that has one member that says, I'm not going to function, you've got a problem. And that's what Paul is saying. Everything in the body has to work, and more importantly, it has to work together. If you have parts of the body that are not functioning, the whole body suffers, and you cannot remove yourself from a God-given responsibility because you feel that you don't measure up or that you're not happy with who you are. And to say that you don't want to be responsible for what you are doesn't relieve you of any responsibility. It only makes you disobedient to the Word of God. Someone said the body of Christ, like our own bodies, is composed of individual, unlike cells that are knit together to form one body. He is the whole thing, and the joy of the body increases as individual cells realize they can be diverse without becoming isolated outposts. If you don't think what you do is important, stop doing it and see what happens. If you're not doing anything, shame on you. However, there's hope. It's never too late. Get on board. Edmund Burke said, all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Imagine how much better off the body would be if you were exercising your gift. And whatever your gift is, it's needed, and God wants it, and it needs to be there for the body to function properly. And Paul sums it all up in verse 20, and he says this, but now are they many members, and yet one body. Many members, one body. Don't separate yourself from the body and become disobedient. So in verse 15 through 20, Paul says, don't think of yourself inferior. Don't underestimate your importance. Stop whining. Stop complaining. I can't do, they do everything. Well, do something. For the first five verses, that's what he talks about. Now he goes on to say, don't think yourself superior. Don't overestimate your importance. Look at verse 24. For our comely parts, which are ugly, we've all got them. If you don't, come and ask me. I'll tell you. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Why? So that there should be no division in the body. So God puts us together, honors the weaker parts, so that the more beautiful parts can't say, I don't need you. I don't need you. And he does that. Before we looked at so that no one belittles themselves, so that no one belittles others. Everyone is needed. And again, we're talking about the physical body. Notice verse 21. The eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. Think about that. You got an itch in the eye? What's going to itch it? I don't need you. Can't do that. And again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Think about that for just a minute. The head says, you know what, I'm hungry and I really need to go get something to eat. And the feet are just sitting there tapping themselves. You just said, you don't need me, man. How are you going to get there? Can't say to the feet, I don't need you. And we've seen these folks. They do everything. Spiritual cliques. We're good. We're powerful. They're weak. We don't need them. We don't need them. Spiritual cliques. Let me say this to you. I was talking to my brother of mine, and he was telling me about his ministry in the prison. And he asked me about some things that were going at work. I said, oh, great things are going on there. And, you know, he says, well, let me tell you about, he began to tell me about his prison work and how he's beginning now to buy Bibles. And what he would do is he would buy these Bibles and he would pass them out to the prisoners. And they would go home and they would read them, and actually people would write back and they would say how they got saved. And there were just encouraging letters. Well, one of the letters that came back to him was a letter that said, you know what, I need money so that I can buy a TV so that I can watch spiritual programs. Now, imagine a 42-inch Samsung to watch spiritual programs. I don't know if he wanted surround sound, but he sent this letter in and said, I need money so that I can watch spiritual programs. Well, this brother writes back and he says, you know, if I gave to you that. I'm thinking he's going to go a different way with it. I thought he was going to say, then I'd have to buy a TV for everybody. But he said this. He goes, if I gave money to you for a TV, I couldn't buy a Bible for somebody else. So this guy writes back, and he's a prisoner, and he's a believer. He writes back, and he says, I'm sorry that you had to write that. Sorry you had to write that. He goes, I should have never asked for it. I never thought about it like that. He says, I'll tell you what. I get $5 a month from the state. I'm going to send that to you for Bibles. He says, I've already used 20 cents of it. So I'm going to send you $4.80 for a Bible. A couple of days later, from the state, here it comes, a check for $4.80. That's all this guy had. I ask you, is he not needed? Here's a guy that all he has to give is $4. $4.80. Is he not needed? I mean, I'm not even talking about the teacher that was there and souls are getting saved. Forget about him. I'm talking to a guy that gives $4.80 for a Bible. And who knows who read it and who got saved? Can we say to that guy, I don't need you? I don't think so. But that's what was going on in the Corinthians assembly. They were overestimating their importance. If you can't preach or speak in tongues, you're nothing. We don't need you. And those who were doing everything felt that they didn't need anyone else. There's a verse in Romans. If you just keep your finger right there and just turn back one book to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, it says this. Beginning in verse 3, I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. You want to know how important you are? Look at what you're doing. The measure of faith that God has given to you to carry out the spiritual gift, look what you're doing. However, you need to approach it with the right attitude. You see, some people approach it with, I've got the spiritual gift and I don't need anybody else. Some people approach it with, you know what, I don't have a spiritual gift, but I'm going to make it look like I do. And they're fake. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. What God gave you, use it. And that's what you are. And he goes on to say this. So we being many in verse 5 are one body in Christ, and everyone, watch this, remembers one another. Guys, there should be no division in the body of Christ, no matter what. No matter what. I was in a steam room the other day, sitting there. I'm listening to this conversation that this guy's having, and he's having it with somebody else. And he says, you know, those people in the back office, they want what we have. You know, the salespeople, we go out, we got to wine and dine these people. And, you know, she handles the payroll, and, you know, they just don't understand what we do. And I'm thinking, you ding-dong, if they don't sign payroll checks, you don't get paid. Everybody's important. You can't say, I don't need that gal in the back office because she's not a salesman. They don't understand what I do. Well, they allow you to do what you do. This morning I couldn't be up here if this wasn't moved, if this wasn't away, if I didn't have lights up here. I couldn't be here. You don't know what goes into planning of a speaker's meeting and who gets what and who does what. You can't say, I don't need you. Notice he goes deeper. He goes deeper into the body in verse 22. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to me more feeble, they're necessary. You see, the ears and the eyes and the feet, we can live without. They're the external ones. They're strong. We can put the makeup on the eyes and the hands and the feet and the ears, and we can make the external things pretty because they're strong. There are weak members that we can't live without. And we're talking about the less showy members of the body, the less obvious members of the body, the less out front. They're more feeble, but they're necessary. And what are we talking about? We're talking about the kidneys. We're talking about the lungs and the liver. Did you ever stop and think what a liver does? It's unbelievable what a liver does. It cleanses the blood. It receives bright red blood cells from the lungs and is delivered to the heart. It produces about 2.5 pints of bile in its ducts, which is delivered to the gallbladder through a small tube called the cystic duct. It detoxifies blood cells. Many chemical compounds are inactivated by the liver through modification of chemical structures. Can you imagine that? We can't live without a liver. I can cut my hand off and I'll walk out of here. Take a liver out, we're going to die. They're more necessary. These less showy parts are necessary. And their only protection is from other parts of the body. Look what the bulletproof vest covers. You put that on, it doesn't cover the face. It doesn't cover the arms and the hands. It covers the heart and the lungs and the kidney and the spleen and all of that in there. Where would the body be without all of the weaker parts? Where would we be without all of those ministries that no one knows about? Think about that. How about the cleaning crew? When's the last time we ever went and said thank you to the cleaning crew for making this spotless so that we can all show up and there's nothing on the floor and the books are lined up? Where would we be? I'm in the kitchen today and one of the sisters walks in and says, I got a letter from somebody. He's telling us this. You have no idea what goes in planning a cooking Sunday, a fellowship dinner. The sound that we have, our Awana program. You just don't show up, babysit 13 3-year-olds and go home. There's planning for that. I look at what the leader of that cubby class does and what you have to prepare to make that Awana class go is unbelievable. Nobody knows it. Most of us don't even know who the cubby leader is, much less what they do. And yet, it goes on. Prayer, we have no idea. We just have no idea. You see those green things right outside here? One day they're up here, the next day they're down there. I know they didn't walk there by themselves. Trash cans got to move from the wall down to the front. The maintenance of the building. One day I show up, there's no railing. Another day I show up, there's a black painted railing to help people get up and down the steps. Can't say I don't need you. They're not showy. They're not up front. They're not up here speaking. I wouldn't know how to make a railing if my life depended on it, but it's there. And we don't even know who put it there, but it's there. What would we do if they walked away? What would we do if all of these people walked away from what they did? There are the members that are necessary, and sometimes we don't even know who they are, but we are here because they're here. Notice he goes even deeper in verse 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. You know what he's saying? Some parts of our body just don't look good, and we go through painless efforts, painful efforts, to cover them up. In our private parts, just for modesty, we cover them up. We go through painful processes to keep them covered. The point is that there's not ugly people in the body, but we need to give honor to those people that are less showy. We need to give honor to those people. And so no one needs to be going around saying, I don't need you. And when we consider this, it goes a little deeper than that. We begin to write people off. We tend to be impatient with others who are not as quick on their feet, or those who are healthy and lack compassion for others who are not as strong, or those of us who find delight in accomplishment but lack empathy for others who are not as productive. It's so easy to look down on others and to complain and to compare, and we just don't write people off because they don't agree with us or they're different. We can't say, I don't need you. When people are different, there's acceptance. When there's differences in the body, there's forgiveness. And when we are wrong, there's compassion and gentleness. And I love that word, gentleness. Paul said, let your gentleness be made known to all men. And there's just nothing like kindness to one another. You see, in too many cases, the battle goes on and on until the body's fractured because you or I are not big enough to get over the initial hurt. We sit in bitterness in our homes because of an argument we had or because someone said something we didn't agree with, and we live our spiritual lives with the shades pulled down. And we say, I'll have nothing to do with the body because of you fill in the blank. And the body's fractured. You see, functioning in the body requires acceptance, forgiveness, and compassion, and gentleness, and that needs to be done before we can even begin to serve. We need to be people of peace and press on. And it's easy to be that way for the front runners, isn't it? For the popular, for the spiritual clique. It's real easy to act like that towards them. But what about the less desirable in the back that make this whole assembly go and we don't even know who they are? It's those people that we need to go and say, thank you for what you do. We need you. When I was in the car business, let me tell you, you look at a car business and you think the salespeople, yeah, they're the important ones. But you know who my best friend was? The porter. If my cars were not spotless and lined up, my salesman couldn't sell them. He was my friend. You see, you could be a beautiful foot or hand or ear or eye, but you could and be cut off and the rest of the body would still make it. But if you happen to be Big Ed the porter, we can't mess with you because you're too valuable. Can't say I don't need you. And that's how God equalizes things. And so there is harmony in the body. Look at verse 24, and we'll close here real shortly, guys. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Why? That there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another, and whether one member suffers, all members suffers with it, or whether one member is honored, all members are honored with it. So he puts us together, giving honor to the weaker parts so that there's no division in the body. Can you imagine if the heart said to the liver, I don't need you? We just know that the liver pumps blood to the heart. Or could you imagine if the liver said, since I'm not the head, I don't want to work. It's the same way in the body of Christ. Watch this, that all, if one suffers, everybody suffers. You know what it means? It means to be affected. I found this out, that an eye doctor can detect a brain tumor, a kidney disease, or a liver infection by looking into the eye. Can you imagine that? Our body is so vitally linked together that what affects one member affects all members. You've seen it, right? Somebody hurts in the group. People just come up and they don't say anything. Is rock with you. They're affected. They don't have to say a word. They just put their arm around you and rock with you. When one member hurts, we all hurt. I remember when we were struggling a little bit, and let me say this to you, I wouldn't change anything for anything, but when we found out we were going to be grandparents, it was shocking. I was shocked. Wouldn't exchange it now for the world, but it was shocking. You're going to be grandparents. One day we're on a beach, next day we're in my kitchen, you're going to be grandparents. So we were shocked by it. And it would have been real easy to judge. My wife reminded me that friends of ours just came up when they found out, didn't ask any questions. Didn't say, when did it happen? How did it happen? Is it a girl or a boy? They just said, we love you. They rock. See, when one member hurts, everybody hurts. You smash your thumb with a sledgehammer. You can't just say, my thumb hurts. The whole body hurts. And real quickly, let me say this another way. If somebody's not walking with the Lord, don't think that you are by yourself and isolated. The whole body hurts because of you. Not only that, but when one rejoices, everybody rejoices. Everybody rejoices. You've seen those folks where somebody gets the glory and they say they're happy and congratulations and all that, but their mind and their motives, they're not what they should be. Yeah, I can't believe I didn't get it. I can't believe it. I mean, if they just knew that. And there's this division. However, when one rejoices, everybody rejoices. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 says this. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any tender mercies and compassions, he goes on to say, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Imagine how rich the body would be if we did that.
See, the only thing possible here is love for one another, and Paul will deal with that in the next chapter. And I was going to read you a story about fat cells, but I'm not. I want to move right to the conclusion, because I want to conclude with this. we'll talk about fat cells another time, but in the conclusion, you know, my brother asked the question last week, are there decisions that need to be made today? And you know what? I want to leave with that. Are there decisions that need to be made today? First question I want to ask is this: are you in the body? That's the first question. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? It's a gift. It's a gift to you right now. He died in your place. Do you believe that? Do you accept that? If you accept that, you can be saved right now. It's that simple. Are you in the body? If you're in the body, you're important. Stop complaining. You're a fat cell that does nothing. And you're here to say, what are you going to do for me today? And you take and take and take and take, and you suck the life right out of an assembly. Grow up. Don't say that I'm not part of the body. That's number two. Number three, everyone is needed. Stop looking down on others. Don't be a cancer to a body. Everybody is needed so that everybody can function the right way. Where are you? Answer the question yourself as you leave here today. Let's close. Father, today we marvel in the miracle of the body. We marvel in what you have done, how you have built the human body. Lord, we are honored that you compare it to your body, the church. May we be a body that responds to you in a way like never before, that we would obey you in every aspect of our life, that we would function in the body, that we would do something, that we would not look down on others, but that we would be in total harmony with each other, loving each other, considering others better than ourselves. Lord, thank you for your word that guides us, that tells us how to do it, that tells us how you did it. We pray, Father, that we would be obedient to your word now. In Jesus' name, amen.